This is Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Genuine diamonds, baby.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome in if you're just tuning in. Happy May. May 1st. And it's going to be hot. It's going to feel like July 1st, to be honest with you. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you. Broadcasting live from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. It's only 69 right now, but get ready. We're looking at a high today of 89, maybe even reach 90, with plenty of sunshine. Then tonight, clear skies with a low of 65, so that's fairly warm. And then tomorrow, we're looking at another pretty day. Mostly sun, a little bit of clouds rolling in, and a high of 86 degrees. Second hour of the program is brought to you by our friends at James Gattis Jewelers in the heart of East Memphis at 4900 Poplar. It's right between Mendenhall and St. Nick. They are your family's jeweler. Online at GattisJewelers.com. And right now, they're getting ready for their Stacktacular event. Stack and save on all brands and all bands, and bracelets May 2nd through the 4th. So tomorrow through Saturday, with Mother's Day just around the corner, this is perfect. You purchase one, you get 20% off. You purchase two, you get 30% off. You purchase three, you get 40% off. You understand, don't you? On all stackable rings and bracelets. And they are absolutely beautiful. A variety of different bracelets. You can shop online with them 24/7. Again, that's GattisJewelers.com. Or just stop by. James Gattis Jewelers, 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick. All right, we were talking some NBA to wrap up hour one. Let's continue that here in hour number two. We mentioned already the Sixers-Knicks. What a series that has been. Philly winning last night in New York as they stay alive. 3-2 New York in that series. Also staying alive, the Milwaukee Bucks, but they are on life support if they don't get Giannis or Dame Lillard back. But they played last night without those two and beat the Pacers 115-92, 23-point whooping, and now the series 3-2 Indiana. The Pacers just, I don't know, went through the motions, it seemed like, but the Bucks got great performances from Bobby Portis and Chris Middleton. What's interesting is you go back to game four, Bobby Portis was ejected early. Middleton played well, but was injured throughout that game. I don't think he's 100%, but Middleton played really well, and Bobby Portis, who I think has had a dynamite career out of Arkansas, he also had 29.
Which is why Bobby Portis can't be dumb and get ejected in a game.
Like, right.
Without Giannis and Lillard, like, Portis is arguably their second best player. I will say, like, I've never seen a team do more dancing and everything else down 3-1 in a series than what Milwaukee did last night. Like, Patrick Beverley and Bobby Portis are doing the too small thing. Can we retire that, by the way?
I'd like to retire. Like,
I feel like it's run its course and we need to move on. But like, every time they scored, they're doing like the too small thing. I'm like, you guys are down 3-1. Like, tap the brakes here a little bit. Like, you know, every bucket they're dancing, I'm like, my goodness gracious, you'd have thought they were getting ready to close out the series and move on. And but it was, I mean, obviously a heck of a performance when you don't have, first time in NBA history that a team won a playoff game without their two leading scorers from the regular season.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like get off my lawn guy, but yeah, the celebration of today's athletes, the modern athletes, compared to, you know, guys when I grew up, guys in the 80s, guys in even the 90s, like, they held back celebration until it was time to celebrate. Then they celebrated. Certainly Michael Jordan celebrated, but they didn't celebrate prematurely. And now you're right. It's crazy. You make a big shot in a game, it's the third quarter, it's like, come on.
Well, that thing I said, like, Beverly's like just,
well, he's weird.
It's
anyway.
Not even making a, it's just making a shot, and he's coming out of there like too small. And I'm like, really? Like, what are we doing here? Come on, man.
I know. That's Beverly. But there's a lot of players that still do that. Or
he's got like eight points.
So excited.
He gets
about
his eighth point in the third quarter to make it a 12-point game, and he's too small on somebody. Okay. Great. I don't know.
I guess the other way to look at it is, have fun. You're playing a kid's sport. It's entertainment. Do all those types of things. Fire up the fans. Get the fans pissed. Whatever the case may be. Whatever you're trying to do. But have some type of reaction and an entertainment value. I look at it the other way. And that's fine and dandy. But tell me what you've done in the end. It's just like, hey, a great regular season in college and professional sports, even high school sports, that's fantastic. Tell me what you did in the postseason, because all I care about is what you did in the postseason. Now, I'm not saying that every team, because you only have one winner in every sport at every level. You only have one. So I don't care if your team overachieved. I'm going to applaud that team for having a great year. If they underachieved, I'm going to say it was a bad year. And if it was a year where you should have won it all and you didn't even make the playoffs or the postseason or whatever, I'm going to say it's a disastrous year. But I'm going to judge you on what you did in the postseason. The regular season, I may judge you, but that is completely separate. So within a game, again, I don't care if you make a big shot. It's kind of cool. You beat a buzzer beater to end the first half. That's nice. Okay? Now a little high five, move on to the locker room. But at the end of the game, did you win or lose?
I want guys to celebrate, have fun, all that. But I want it to be the things like if you dunk on somebody, and then you want to do the little too small thing, okay, fine.
I thought you wanted to put it away.
I want that retired. But if we're gonna use it for dunking on somebody, making a 16-foot jumper over somebody in the middle of the third quarter. I don't like need to tell me to tell you have you say they're too small. Like I don't. I mean, you made a shot. Like congratulations, you made a jumper. Move on.
I agree. And don't get me wrong, big time dunk. You need to celebrate a home run. I am a proponent of the bat flip. Now again, with the unwritten rules of baseball, you're probably going to get one in between the shoulder blades the next time you're up. I understand that, but I'm fine with that type of celebration within. It's just, you know, you just made a shot. And you're down 27 points, and you're celebrating. It was the old sketch.
I mean, Beverly made four shots last night. I think he did the too small gesture after every one of them.
I know.
I think he also did it after other guys made shots. He like makes a free throw. He'll be after the free throw line somehow, make a free throw. Like, ah, you're too small. Like, I don't know. Like, he just won't quit doing it.
There was the old sketches that he did it multiple times when Chris Elliott on David Letterman would impersonate Marv Albert, and he would come on with, you know, the video clips that the real Marv Albert would bring on. It'd be sensational plays and big time dunks and things of that nature. And Chris Elliott would come on as Marv Albert, and he would do things like what we're talking about. He'd go, you know, to the world of basketball, we go to Los Angeles, the Lakers and the Trailblazers. Damian Lillard shoots. Hits for the Blazers! They lose by 29. It was like every skit was like that, every little thing he did. And that's what it is. Why celebrate? Then again, the entertainment value of it all. Okay, so the Bucks stave off elimination. The Sixers stave off elimination.
And Doc says that both Lillard and Giannis are very, 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 he went three varies. I believe it's three. I think he stopped at three. Very, very, very close. Are coming back. So we shall see. They're supposed to, are supposed to work out today and see where they are, but the Bucks could get both of them back for game six.
Okay. If you are very, very, very close to coming back, then you should play in game six because it's now or never. You lose, the season's over. What are you waiting for? Till you're very, 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 very close to coming back? If you're that close, you come back. You're not going to be 100%.
They're close to coming back. He ain't saying they're close to 100%. He's saying they're close to coming back.
Yeah, but again, if you're very, very, very close, that was his words, you got to step up and play, baby. You got to play hurt, man, if you really, really care. Maybe it's one of those things in the back of their mind. It's like, yeah, you know, we're not going to win. We're not going to beat the Celtics and win the Eastern Conference Championship and get to the NBA Finals. I don't know what's going through the minds of these players that make so much money. Certainly the bulk of these players care. They really care about winning. I understand that. And they're hurt when they lost. But once the season's over with and a couple of days go by, then it's like, yeah, we're going to, you know, me and the family are going to go on vacation for a month on a beautiful yacht out in the Caribbean or down in the Caribbean or out in the, you know, where, again, I think fans
take it. What do you want to do, cry the entire offseason?
No, but be determined that you're going to come back and you're going to make amends next year. I think fans take it harder. Fans take it much, much harder than the players themselves. All right, the other game, Cavaliers Magic. Again, a series I haven't paid much attention to, yet it's about as close as you can get. Last night, a one-point game, Cavaliers beat the Magic 104-103 at home. Paolo Banchero hit a three at the end to make it a one-point game. But the Cavs get the win. They go up 3-2. Banchero was great, 39 points, 8 assists. Spider-Man, Donovan Mitchell at 28. They did not have Jarrett Allen, which I think hurt them. But more than likely, they'll end up being a seventh game, right? They'll go to Orlando for game 6. The Magic will win, and then it'll come down to a game 7 in Cleveland. That's the way it's going, at least in this series. So this one, we may not be paying a lot of attention to, but is the closest series we have.
Well, I mean, there hasn't been a close game until last night. So
right.
I wouldn't say necessarily close.
Well, close in the sense that it's 3-2. But also, I would say Dallas and the Clippers are right there as well, as they're tied at 2. But, I mean, it's a close series in that sense.
The Evan Mobley, the block on Franz Wagner at the end of that game was pretty incredible. I got, it's one of those, like, he's just so long and, like, and athletic and, like, it didn't look like he would possibly be able to get there, but he gets there and makes the play. Banchero was awesome, which he is awesome. And unfortunately for him, he just didn't quite get enough help. But, I mean, 39 points, efficient as heck, 14 of 24 from the field. But, you know, Suggs was 5 of 14. Wagner was 3 for 11. There wasn't a whole lot there efficiency wise for anybody other than Banchero.
Somebody, and I'm trying to remember yesterday who was talking about LeBron and going back to LeBron coming out on social media and saying, "Hey, I stop it because I haven't made any decision. I talk with the family. We'll see what happens." Yeah, there's a lot of things that he has to decide, and when it's all said and done, he's got a 50-something million dollar player option. And it was reported by Shams, I think, maybe Woj, that Jeannie Buss is willing to go 3 years max. 3 years. He's going to be 40 years in the fall, but he's playing like he's 30. So why not? I think that in the end, I don't know if he wants to play 3 years. He may sign a 3-year deal. He'll be back with the Lakers. We'll see. But the Cavaliers came up because obviously having played in Cleveland, having, you know, from Akron and all that, that the Cavaliers, who have some stars, have some really good players, are just not good enough. So how can they make a run with what they have now? And some suggested, well, maybe you have to give up a couple. Or would they be willing to give up a couple if LeBron would want to end his career back in Cleveland? Would you be willing to give up Darius Garland and, let's say, Jared Allen? But you keep Mobley, you keep Mitchell, and you bring in LeBron.
Well, BetOnline has them as the second betting favorite for his next team if it's not the Lakers.
I mean, it makes sense.
Golden State at 4-1, Cleveland at 5-1, the Knicks at 6-1. The Grizzlies, by the way, 50-1. 50-1 if you think LeBron's coming to the Grizzlies, you can get him at 50-1.
So waste a few dollars if you'd like. No, Cleveland makes sense. It's going to be the Lakers, but Cleveland makes sense. I don't think it makes sense anywhere else. Now, I mean, for those teams, it makes sense. But LeBron James, I think he's got two young kids still. They're in L.A. I think it's L.A. But Cleveland is not crazy talk. Golden State, I do not see. I don't know. What do you think with Steph Curry? He's won. He's won with Kevin Durant. He's won without Kevin Durant. But they're not winning now. The reign is over unless they bring in a couple of stars with Steph. LeBron James, Steph Curry together? I don't know. I mean, it would be great.
Yeah, they're not going to win a title. But
No. I mean with Steph. With Steph. I mean, how important is it with Steph about the legacy? It has been such an unbelievable career. Does he want, bring in LeBron? Because
Yes.
Then he becomes. But then he becomes almost 1B.
Who cares? Like he.
I don't know. Like some players have egos. This just in. I don't know if he does that. He'd won him, and won all that. I don't. Maybe he would. Maybe he wouldn't. But I don't know. I still think it's. It's absolutely the Lakers. I mean, I'm not even going to let myself entertain thoughts of Cleveland. He's coming back to the Lakers.
The Grizzlies also, they're 25-1 as Kevin Durant's next team, if he's not back in Phoenix. I think they're 22-1 for Devin Booker. And they were, what did they have? There was another, I guess I think for Bradley Beal, I think it was like 12-1. For the Grizzlies.
So in other words, just if you want your money to go poof, like my Tyrese Halliburton bet last night, then go ahead and bet. How would you even get those guys? The money they make, what would you be willing to give up? I mean, what are you going to give up?
I wouldn't want to give
Desmond up. Desmond Bain?
You know, there,
Jaren Jackson Jr.?
I don't know why. There were some people, I believe, yesterday that started talking about Kevin Durant, making a move for Kevin Durant. Like, I'm like, I didn't want Kevin Durant last year. I still don't want Kevin Durant. But there are
Kevin Durant's a great player.
There will be people that still want to somehow try and figure out. Like there were people like coming up with lineups that featured Kevin Durant, but yet they somehow still featured Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Desmond Bane. I'm like, well, and like GG Jackson. I'm like, well, did they do a Jake LaRavia and trade Jemison for Kevin Durant trade? Like, how did this team acquire Kevin Durant? Like, literally it has like the whole Grizzlies rotation just with Kevin Durant thrown in. I'm like, well, who the hell did they give up to get Kevin Durant in this world? Well,
let me think. If you have Ja, Dez, Jaren Jackson Jr., GG Jackson, still, you know, the rookie deal. He hasn't signed the big deal. The rest of the team, would the money even add up to what Kevin Durant makes? I mean, it just seems like. I mean, obviously they got.
I guess I assume
Luke Kennard paid well. Brandon Clark's paid well.
I don't think Marcus Smart was in there. So I assume. I guess it was a Marcus.
Oh,
Smart.
Oh yeah, Smart. There
like
you go.
Like a Marcus Smart, Luke Kennard, Zaire, Jake LaRavia.
But you can get there financially now. That I could. I was wondering how could you get there financially. I forgot about Marcus Smart, and then Kennard. And you add more in there. Because KD's making what now?
KD's 50-something million? Like, his is 45, 50, somewhere in that range. Yeah, he's at 50. He's right. All three of those guys for next year are right around 50 million because it's 150 million for the three of them.
Yep.
By the way, did you read?
Maybe they just had Kevin Durant as a player to be named later in the David Roddy trade. Like they felt... They're like, Roddy's been so good. Here, take Durant. We feel like we've fleeced you guys too much on that trade.
By the way, did you read about the comments that were made? I forget. It was anonymous, but within the Suns organization, or this person got sources within the Suns organization talking about Ishbia. That Ishbia, they say, even though he played bad, what was he, a bench guy? I don't even know if he was a scholarship guy. From Michigan State.
Right? No, he's a walk-on.
Oh, he's a walk-on. That he has no clue what's going on and how to run a basketball team, but he's trying to make every single decision and has made all their major decisions. But he has no, this is again from an anonymous source with ties within the organization, or his source or her source has the ties within the organization, that it's a debacle. Like, he could be a good owner because he's willing to spend money, but he's trying to make every single decision with no clue of what to do. So that'll be an interesting one. They're the wild card of everything. I know everybody's going to pay attention and should with LeBron, what's happening there. But what Phoenix does, you would think they just run it back, right? These guys are under the big contracts. But I don't know. With that guy, could be something crazy. Could be some fireworks.
I just don't. There's no way for them to do that.
it doesn't appear. But you know, again,
Durant's. I mean, you could
trade Durant, but
Durant and Booker are tradable, I guess, because there's, you know,
he's not still trading good. Durant. He's not trading Durant.
Beal, I don't think there's any chance you could trade him. You're not getting. But even the other guy, you're not. without any draft picks or nothing, like, I don't, like, you would be, if you trade those, you're not getting them in return. So I don't, like, again, they just have, they don't have the ability to do anything really other than bring them all back and hope that something changes next year and you end up being way better. But I don't see that as happening for them next year either. I mean, there's, okay. I don't know why they would be suddenly way better with as Durant gets older and everything else.
Well, and again, Beal was not healthy for a good portion of the early part of the season last year. And even though I still consider him a little bit overrated, he's still a great player. And he did not come through in the postseason. But maybe they think a full season of him being healthy with Durant, even though he's aging, and Booker still in his prime, that they can get it going. And maybe they can, but it did not work out.
Fleet Feet is the place to go to get all the running gear that you need, especially shoes. You want to get shoes that are just right for you when you're out there running, walking, exercising, whatever. Daily use, just if you're on your feet a lot, certainly you want to make sure you got shoes that are really comfortable and designed basically just for you. And that's what they'll do at Fleet Feet, is make sure you get the right shoes. By taking a look at the way you run, the way you walk, they'll fit you with those shoes that are just right for you. So go see the folks at Fleet Feet, either in East Memphis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center or out in Collierville, Poplar and Houston Levy, next door to Huey's. They'll take care of you and to get you those shoes. Plus anything else you need, any other gear that you need, well, they've got you taken care of that as well at Fleet Feet.
Got some more basketball portal news we'll get to a little bit later on in the show. Got some NFL news as well. But when we come back, we're talking UFL. We're talking Showboats. They got a big one this weekend against their rivals from Birmingham. Our buddy Steve Macy will join us in studio. They're going to be giving away some bobbleheads as well. We'll talk about that when we return. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever!
Woo! Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:32 the time, halfway home on this first day of May, the Wednesday, May 1st, 2024 edition of the program. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd, and now joined by our friend Steve Macy, the Memphis Showboat Senior Director of Team Business and Event Operations. You can follow Steve on Twitter at Steve Macy. The Showboats back home this weekend against their rivals from Birmingham, the Birmingham Stallions. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm not excited about playing Birmingham. They're good. You know, the good thing is it's a rivalry game, and so a lot of things can happen. And, you know, they came in here last year at the end of the season. We got up early on them, and we looked really, really good. And, you know, they came back and won and then won the championship. But at the end of the game, their players put on the little captain's hat that our fans wear. Their quarterback, Alex Magoo, came into the press conference wearing it. And I was sitting there as a Memphis Showboats employee, pissed. You know, go, what a jerk this guy is. And then I sat back, and it said, as the marketing part of me goes, ooh, rivalry building. I love it. I love it. Build the rivalry, baby.
Yeah, they have the recipe, don't they?
They're good. I mean, they've obviously figured out a way to – obviously, their coaching's very good. They believe in themselves. They believe in whatever they're going through. And so we're going to have to play a great, great football game to beat them. And I think we can. I mean, it's not like this team isn't as talented as we thought it was. It's not like we didn't think the Showboats weren't going to have a ton of talent. It just hasn't melted together on a game day outside of that, you know, really the first game and a half. And really game and four-fifths or five, seven. You know, somebody do the math for me in the fractions. The last 48 seconds is of a game. And, you know, somebody do that math for me.
You got 60 minutes, so it's really the one game and 59/60.
Okay, thank you. That's pretty close.
Do you think it's a coincidence, or is there something to it that meltdown at the very end of that game, since then there's been a struggle?
I think sports is what sports is. I mean, I think, look, we've all played baseball, and baseball's streaky. I'm an Atlanta Braves fan, and they're two guys that were top three in the MVP voting couldn't hit a watermelon if you lobbed it to them right now. You know, it's just sports is weird. And so I think a lot of times confidence builds confidence. And right now I think we might be struggling a little bit. So I just think we need a couple things to go right, and it can turn around quickly because, like we said, this team is good. There's a lot of talent on this team on both sides of the ball, the special teams. I have no doubt that the Showboats can go on a run and make it really interesting as we get near the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I said it on Monday. Like, the Stallions have it so good, like, that Skip Holtz literally, like, says, yeah, I just decide who the quarterback's going to be for that week on Thursday morning.
Right.
And he's got two guys who, every time they go in there, either one of them, like, is amazing. Like, they play great. He's just like, I don't know. I guess on Thursday, I decide, like, hey, we're going to go with this guy this week.
See, that's confidence. That's the definition of having confidence and feeling like, all right, confidence begets confidence.
And neither one's Magoo.
No, and then Magoo wasn't the starter of the year before. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, they've won two straight championships and are undefeated in the league right now and look really good, and they basically had four or five different starting quarterbacks in 3 years, and so it's different.
Well, you've come here bearing gifts, and we appreciate that, and it's going to be an opportunity for some fans who will go to the game, who will attend the game on Saturday, to pick up a commemorative Memphis Showboats bobblehead.
Yeah, very excited about this giveaway. Obviously, it's something that it's kind of cool. It's just an indiscriminate player, number 23, recognizing the return of the Showboats last season in the 2023 year. Just excited. We got a good number of these to give away for the first people that come into the game. I'm excited about having these out. Our little marketing tagline right now is these bobbleheads are everywhere, but you can only get them at the game. So we've been taking pictures all over town and posting them on social media. And it's a good little giveaway. It's a thank you to our crowd. We've had just an incredible home field advantage, even though it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a win. Our crowd has so much fun. They get into it so much. The number of people that are they're dressed up, they're wearing their captain's hats, they're wearing something to do with the Showboats on their shirts, and they're really, really good at being enthusiastic during the game. We had a 80s game last week, and we commemorated Pepper Rogers and Reggie White and recognized them. And at the same time, we played 80s music all game, and, man, the fans were in the stands having a lot of fun. I liked it. I was just disappointed that the DJ didn't let me take over because it was just like, give me my phone. I'll just hit next, next, next,
what
next.
Would be, what's your go-to from the 80s? What's your go-to song?
Well, I think the easiest thing is just going with AC/DC.
Okay.
I mean, you just kind of go, what do you want to do? Well, I'm going to play Thunderstruck
again. I got a few of them in here.
Yeah. The 80s was the last great musical era.
Yes.
In this, I think the 80s we have not made good music.
There was a little bit in the 90s, and then this century, oh my god,
70s and 80s is where music really
I've got some pretty good 90s stuff and a little bit of that Seattle grunge stuff I enjoyed. I thought there was some interesting unique music during that time and a little bit of the 2000s, but you know, we kind of started blending a little bit of that southern rock era that came out. I think that was interesting music as well, but yeah. You know, I had no problem last Sunday listening to 80s music for 3 hours.
So the along with the game on Saturday, Friday afternoon, as the team's going to be doing a kids clinic.
Yeah, we'll be at MSAC from 4 to 6 for a free kids clinic. We ask you to sign up. Check any of our social media feeds for the link to that sign up, but it is free. Our coaches and players will be there. They're going to run a free clinic. We'll have pizza for the kids, some giveaways. It's just another way for us to give back to the community. Last week, we were at the FedEx Family House that serves Le Bonheur. And, you know, as a parent, it's hard. You know, it's one of those things you walk in and you see some of these families and what they're dealing with. And I was really glad our players got a chance to see that. And then they made some cookies for the families. The last thing they did was made some cookies. But we stocked the pantry. You know, that's a place that serves those families so that those families can stay there at the house, be with their kid all day at the hospital, and then come back, cook, and have dinner. And so we stocked the pantry up with a lot of food for them and then bake cookies at the end. So it's stuff that, you know, when we came back to Memphis last year, we talked about having an impact on the community, about having family-friendly pricing. I think we're doing that. We've got $10 tickets available at theufl.com, and you can get $10 tickets to all of our home games. Plus, we're trying to do some things in the community that make sense.
And you're also with the game. There's a diaper and baby formula drive as well, trying to help out.
Yeah, and so that's another part of our agreement with FedEx. And you know, one of the great things about FedEx, I mean, one of the many, it seems like all the good things we have in this town is because of them, or they've been a big part of it. But their support of us is also supporting other things. So for this game, we're going to be supporting the Mid-South Food Bank and having a diaper drive. And so we ask people to bring diapers. You can drop them off right at the gates as you go in. We'll have bins there. You know, it's another opportunity for us to give back to the community through our partnership with FedEx. And, you know, later in the season, we're going to have something to do with military appreciation. And there's just the things that FedEx does with us are really cool and just gives us a chance to do some more.
I wanted to mention this because I don't have a dog in the fight. You work for the Showboats. Eli's the voice of the Showboats. But I want to make sure I say this and say it clear to people out there, because there's still the whole being disgruntled that the team is not here. This is not a choice that the team decided that they wanted to be in Arlington. This was a choice by the league when they merged the two leagues that they were going to start out having these teams all in one place. When the players come to Memphis, as Steve just mentioned, and they're only here a short time, but they come and they make an impact on the community right away. They don't come here and sit in their hotel room and then practice and go back to the hotel room. They're doing things in the community, whether it be with local hospitals, whether it be with food drives. And then they play the game and they want to put on an entertaining product for the fans out there. They're doing what they can. For anybody to be disgruntled about that, it's absolutely ridiculous. We don't know about the future, but I can tell you this, that you need to do your part if you want that future to continue with the Showboats, to have football, professional football in the spring when nothing's going on, to be honest with you, is fantastic. Memphis is one of eight cities.
Yep.
So you've got to do your part. But again, I think people have a problem because they, oh, the Showboats aren't even here. Well, the Showboats would want to be here if they could be here, and maybe next year they will be. But while they're not, they're doing everything they can for the short time they are here when they come here for those five games.
Yeah, it's really about building this for long-term success. We've seen spring leagues come and go. Quickly, right? You know, the last one didn't even last a season.
I know firsthand.
Yeah, you and I both didn't. Yeah. You know, walked out with going, don't you all owe me some money? So that's where some dude came in and says, I want to start a spring football league and just start spending money. And this isn't sustainable. What we've done is we've built this for sustainability and to make this for a long-term commitment to the city of Memphis. We've got a two-year lease right now, so this is year one of a two-year lease. It's not like we're going away. We just announced the signing of a new sponsorship deal that starts next year. We're planning for next year right now. We're working on scheduling for next year. We're talking about hiring more people in town for next year to have a bigger impact long term. This is being built so that we can sustain. Yes, do I want the players and coaches here 12 months here? Of course I do. Would it be more impactful? Of course it was. But it's if we do that and we fail, then it's stupid. If we don't do that and we say, hey, let's build this long term and we're going to build it with the community together, that's the smart thing to do. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, is there a way to maybe change it? You know, when we have back-to-back home games, maybe the team stays that whole week. There's some tweaks that can happen to make it more impactful. But in the meantime, we're going to do everything we can to ensure that this stays here long term. And look, it's not like there's no impact now. Everybody that works at the stadium, you know, the hotels that we're booking for both teams that come in, and even the FPO that the team flies into, and the buses, the economic impact is not zero. It's not as high as it could be with the whole team staying here, but acting like it's zero is disingenuous. And we don't want it to be zero, because right now it's still a pretty good economic impact. And when we get here and we get our feet underneath us and we start really hammering home that this is Memphis's professional football team, the NFL's not coming, and you know it's protected by what's in Nashville already. So this is our professional football team, and it's dang good football, and it's a lot of fun. And I encourage you, come out, have fun. It's $10. We're giving away bobbleheads, concession deal. Hey, if you show up for the first 45 minutes, beers are only $6 if you're a beer drinker. You know, so as soon as gates open, the first 45 minutes.
Still mad that I haven't been able to. I can't take advantage of that. It really makes me. That's the point.
Eli calls in sick. He can't do the radio show, so you can get $6 beers.
You look down and go, isn't that Savoy in the stands?
Really, that's.
But I think you're right. I mean, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about how, you know, this. It's not an all or nothing proposition. This is a. We're doing this much. We're doing as much as we can to ensure that this thing can last long term. And, you know, I look up the road at St. Louis, and I'm envious. They've got 40,000 people in the stands, and they've just said, we adopt this as our professional football team. We accept all of the conditions that Memphis has, all the same things. It's all the same parameters.
And they lost two teams.
Yeah, that's like they could be mad at like professional football. Like, screw that. We supported two NFL teams. They both left us like, screw that. We're done with pro football. But no, they're like the exact opposite. They're like, they give us another team. We're going to go out there and support the heck out of them.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, I looked at that with a little bit of envy, but at the same time, you know, I look at it in the mirror and say, okay, what can we do as employees of the Showboats, as marketers, whatever, to help our city see this the same way that the city of St. Louis sees it? And I don't have the secret sauce yet, but I'm working on it, you know, and anybody's got ideas of how we can do that, because like we just said, St. Louis is in the exact same road we're on. Same exact road in terms of the team comes in for the five games the day before. They make as much impact as possible, and then they go back to Arlington to train. And we're talking about 40,000 versus 8,000 to 10,000, and we've got work to do to get there. But you know, there's this point of this is our team, Memphis, the 901. This is your team, and they want to be here.
Well, it is a huge rivalry. It has become that in just a short period of time. It's the Showboats and the Birmingham Stallions. It's this Saturday, 11 a.m. kickoff at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Again, tickets, $10.
$10.
How do they get the tickets?
TheUFL.com. TheUFL.com. They're only $10.
And again, get there early and pick up a commemorative bobblehead. Steve, as always, thank you so much. Have fun. Should be a great day on Saturday.
Great seeing you guys. Thank you.
The $10 is a great price for tickets.
Yes.
I mean, that's about it's hard to beat that unless it's free. And I've got four tickets. I've got four free tickets. And here's what I'm going to do. I appreciate you bringing the bobblehead. I'm going to throw in the bobblehead. So you get the tickets. You can still get the bobblehead again on Saturday. So you could end up with five bobbleheads out of four tickets. That's a pretty good deal. For absolute free. For free. So I'll throw in the bobblehead.
All right, what number do I have to call?
Four tickets. One bobblehead, caller number four. We'll go four for four with the bobblehead, 360-8255, 360-8255. Caller number four, four tickets and a bobblehead. There you go. That's the only way you're beating $10 tickets.
Four for four, that could turn out to be five. All right, we'll take a quick timeout, come back, wrap up hour number two. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gaddis Jewelers.
Don't you just love it?
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Well, big news from the transfer portal world. This happened late last night, according to reports. Jonnell Davis from Florida Atlantic, who at first looked like he was going to link up with Dusty May, his coach from FAU at Michigan, did not happen. He's going to play for John Calipari at Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm still confused because the report said his preference is still to go pro, I thought. But then they're acting like it's a done deal that he's going to be at Arkansas.
Yeah, money talks.
But again, if his preference, like, why would he not go with his preference? Like, he's not being forced to not go with his preference.
True.
If he prefers to go pro, why isn't he going pro?
I don't know. But that
he's still in the draft. Like, I think he was on the list of early entries. They came out with the official list. I believe he was on the list of early entrants, so he's still in the draft.
Is he in the mock draft? Have you looked?
I don't.
Like we talked about David Jones earlier, who's not even penciled in as a second rounder right now.
To the mock, certainly not the second round of
but
it.
But anyway, that was the news yesterday that Davis. You know, we'll see again. We'll know for sure once the players have to pull out of the draft if they decide to go back to college when it becomes official. But right now, that is the story: Davis to join Calipari at Arkansas from the NFL. Memphis offensive lineman Jacob Likes, who was the Tigers' center last year, has accepted a rookie minicamp invitation by Denver. So that's three Tigers that'll be out there for the rookie minicamps. And We'll see where they go as far as OTAs and if they're able to make the camp roster. You have Blake Watson and Jaylen Allen, who did sign undrafted free agent deals. So you would think that both of those guys would be at camp. Certainly a tougher road to hoe for Jacob Likes, but hopefully he'll get that opportunity if he performs well in the Broncos rookie minicamp. But that's three Tigers out there in Denver. Also, Jeffrey Canton-Arku, who got an invite to, I forget which NFL team it was, but he has also been drafted in the first round, number 9 overall, by the Montreal Alouettes, and he is from the Montreal area, so the hometown kid drafted by the Montreal Alouettes. First round pick, I would think. I don't know how that works as far as the CFL is concerned. If he gets the opportunity to go to this rookie mini camp, I want to say, was it Jacksonville? Was Joe Skates? I know that. But either way, is he allowed to go there? And then if it doesn't work out, he's fine as far as taking that contract offer from the Alouettes and playing in the CFL?
I would assume so.
Or do they just say, no, you can't even take a chance at the end of it?
I mean, I think all these leagues are smart enough to realize we got to give them the NFL out.
That was the Dolphins.
Thank you, the Dolphins. So he has that same deal as we just talked about with Jacob Likes with the Broncos. Jeffrey Canton-Arku has it with the Dolphins. So again, I'm sure that's what it is. And the rookie minicamps are coming up like right away. And then if it doesn't work out as far as the NFL is concerned, go back to his native Canada, go back to Montreal and play for the Alouettes. Not a bad thing for a guy from Canada in Jeffrey Canton-Arku.
Jonell Davis is officially in the draft. Again, that early entry official list came out, and he still is in there. So I don't know what the exact situation is there.
24/7 Sports has put together their national transfer portal team rankings. We're talking about football here. And they have broken down the SEC. So Ole Miss is number one. Number one in the SEC, but number one in the nation as far as the transfer portal rankings, according to 247 Sports. That's how productive it has been in this offseason for Lane Kiffin. And that's why there's so many high hopes for Ole Miss this upcoming college football season. Not like they were bad last year, but they are expected to battle for the top spot. Battle the likes of Georgia, Alabama, newcomer Texas. Texas A&M is number two. So let's see what happens with Texas A&M with Jimbo out. Number two, as far as the transfer portal team rankings are concerned. Alabama fourth. Texas is seventh. South Carolina is 12th. Georgia is 13th. Missouri did really well in the portal. They're number 16. They got their quarterback coming back in Cook. They got Burden, Luther Burden, the wide receiver, maybe the top receiver in the nation. And now they get some quality players in the portal. So Mizzou, who had a great year last year, should be good again. Kentucky, 19, then Oklahoma, 21, Florida, 22, Auburn, 27, Arkansas, 29, Tennessee is 30th, then LSU, 40th, Mississippi State, 41st, and Vanderbilt, 42nd. So you have all these teams from the SEC ranked in the top 42 in the transfer portal team rankings. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, hour number three of the program, we'll open up talking NBA and the Grizzlies specifically with DeMichael Cole from the Commercial Appeal. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.